Listen to Alan for Breakfast wherever you are. Download the Triple M app now.
Dave Callan on the line. Very funny, man. How are you, mate?
Oh, hello there.
Super excited to have you back in the Southwest again so soon. You were just in Busselton a few months ago for the Fringe. How did that all go?
Yeah, mate. I did Bustle for, I'm not sure how long they've been going. I was going to say inaugural Fringe, but it might have... No, I think they've had a couple. we did a dancing show down there. So I got to burn a bit of calories after going to all the good Southwestern bakeries, which was very important. And then this show's more of a showcase show from the Melbourne Comedy Festival. So four comedians and an MC who's also a comedian.
It sounds almost like a sitcom.
Oh, look, yeah. I mean, if you could fit the cameras in the Tarago, it would be a great sitcom. Just people's just saying random stuff. Lots of people arguing over music. So, yeah, those long drives kind of take it out of you. So, there's not as much arguing. And everyone's lovely anyway.
Now, a couple of comedians...
And I'm a ninja, so they're afraid of me. And a Viking. And a wizard.
Just a mixture of all. Comedians are going to be there. Ben Knight, really looking forward to seeing him.
Yeah, Ben's great. He's another big Viking fella. So, if you like your comedy big and hairy, you get a headliner and an MC that fill that. fill those roles for you. Daniel Fernandez is here from India, who I worked with last year and is fantastic. A very unique voice in comedy. We got Steph Tisdell, who's kicking up a storm as a newcomer right around the country. She's absolutely kicking goals. Very, very, very funny human being, just on stage and off. So you'll have a good crack at her. And rounding it out, we got Sam Taunton from Sydney, who's very much a huge kind of up-and-comer in the vein of Tommy Little. That's the team so far. They're the expendables on the road, eating bakery treats and doing shows and driving.
And as an MC, do you have any power over them that you get to exploit at all, or not really?
Yes, I have the power of... telling them to shut up if I want a nap, because I've been doing this. This isn't my first rodeo, so they respect my authority. No, look, everyone's kind of doing their own thing, and everyone gets, like, I think about 10 to 15 minutes, so that's completely their time to shine and do whatever they do and do the best of what they've done so far in their career, the funniest stuff they've ever thought of. They're going to tell it to you, the Southwest. So strap in. So, I let them do the thing. And, we're all very good friends. I'd love to tell you that there's fights and it's like RuPaul's Drag Race behind the scenes. It's not. It's fairly tame.
Besides the big hair, I guess not.
Yeah, me and Ben have the big hair and Steph to an extent. That's it. We don't do death drops or sassy finger waves. Well, much anyway.
I'm surprised to hear that, to be honest, Dave. I thought you would have been, but that's all right. We're looking forward to seeing it anyway tonight and Saturday night at Breck. It's going to be a great show. Thanks for the chat today.
Oh, can't wait to get up there. Yeah, thanks for having us again. We love touring, so thanks for keeping on buying tickets. We'll keep coming back.
And this is a very interesting survey result that I've managed to find. Realestate.com.au do studies all the time to learn stuff. And the questions they'll ask is who you're living with and how many pets do you have. Well, they've managed to dig up a few little details that I didn't think they'd be asking, but turns out they are. 66% of us supposedly let our pets sleep in the same room as us. That's nice. That's a good thing. I've got nothing against that. I let my cat occasionally sleep in the same room when he's not being a pain in the butt. But this stat is the one that's really got me concerned. It turns out, let's just get this cranking, that one in three of us get it on while our pet watches, or at least is in the same room. I'm sorry, what? Why? Why is anyone doing that? I understand that some things just happen organically, but get them out of there. I don't get it. I really don't get it. That is the last thing that I would ever do. But people are doing it. One in three of us. So if you're there with a couple of mates right now, look around. One of you are doing it. Gross. Looking like a big round 10 in the AFL, and I've got Shane Hope from the West Australian on the line to chat all about it. Good morning, mate.
Morning, Alan. Coming to you from a very cold and windy Waverley Park this morning. I've got my eyes on the Hawks.
Oh, that is good to hear. I've actually got a bit of a tipping contest right now with Mr. Dan Leach. Bit of a stip on this one. I'm a big Hawks supporter, and he's a West Coast supporter, and so we've kind of agreed that one of us will have to paint our face and sing the club song for the, if it goes a certain way. So how are they looking?
Looking forward to that.
Are they looking good?
Well, they're just about to come out, actually, for their training session, so we're probably about 5 or 10 minutes away, but... all eyes on Jagger O'Meara and John Segler today. O'Meara's coming back from a little cork calf, and potentially Segler back for the first time in 18 months. He did his knee in that same game that Nick Natanui did way back at the end of 2016. So he's played 3 VFL games. It'll be interesting to see whether they bring him back after that or if they take a little bit more of a cautious approach. And then there's the philosophical sort of view as well. Do they play with 2 ruckmen or just with the 1? So... against Nick Natanui and Scott Lycett, maybe you go with the 2. So it'll be interesting to see which way Clarko goes when he picks the side tonight.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Who do you think is going to win that one anyway, West Coast versus Hawthorn? On paper, it's West Coast. But do you think Hawks are going to get it done?
Yeah, I'm really not sure on this one. I'll probably go with West Coast just given the form line. The Hawks were pretty average, as you know, up in Brisbane last week.
Yeah.
The Eagles, we've been talking about a bit of a letdown factor. Could they, after that massive win over Richmond, could they have a letdown factor when they come over here to Melbourne? They've got a horror record against the Hawks here, and they've won 2 out of 2 in Melbourne, though, so far this year. So I think they'll keep that run going.
All right, well, hopefully you're wrong. Hey, tonight, Collingwood taking on the Bulldogs. How's this one going to go?
Yeah, massive one. So Levi Greenwood comes back into his first game for the Pies, and he'll probably line up against Jack McRae, who's one of the Brownlow favourites with Nat Fyfe. He averages 35 touches so far each game this season for the Dogs, so that could be a massive matchup. And Josh Shackey comes in for the Dogs as well for his first game since crossing from Brisbane. So he'll be an interesting to watch, one to watch. Ben Reid's back for the Pies. Jordan DeGoey is in red-hot form. So this will be a massive game. And the Pies, who usually play at the MCG, are actually hosting the Bulldogs at Etihad Stadium. Work that one out. So
yeah.
I'm going to go with the Pies. They're in hot form at the moment. But it should be a great game, I think, under the roof tonight.
Absolutely. And then at the Triple MCG, Richmond taking on the Saints. Richmond, how much are they going to beat them by?
Jeez, we love the Triple MCG. I think this has got 100 points written all over it. Richmond were embarrassed last week by West Coast. They'll be fired up and they come back and play against the St Kilda side that's been a rabble all season. So the Saints, they do get back Paddy McCartan and Jake Carlisle. He was out for a week or two with concussion after the knock that he got from Nat Fyfe's knee. So those two come back in. That's good news for the Saints, but I can't see them getting it done against Richmond. It should be the Tigers by a big margin.
Absolutely. Then Sunday, we've got the Hawks taking on West Coast, but straight after that, Freo taking on North Melbourne at Optus Stadium. Freo need the win.
Yeah, they sure do. Obviously not great against Sydney last week, as they have been all year on the road. They've been pretty average, Freo, but they're a much better side at home. Stephen Hill's back from a quad injury, and Stephen Gyro could be a chance to become the 6th debutant for Freo this year. So they're obviously... putting a fair bit of time into these kids that are coming through, and he could be the latest, just a youngster out of Norwood. He's a hard-tackling sort of kid, and it'd be interesting to see him if he gets a run. North have rested Magic Door, and they say rested, but I think that might be a more of a tactical thing. They don't need to go too tall against Freo's forward line, which is full of the smalls at the moment, and it will be until they find a big key forward to replace Pavlich. They've been searching for a while. So Freo, much better side at home. I think they'll probably just sneak this one, but North are in great form.
Absolutely, mate. Well, thanks for that, and I appreciate the chat, mate.
All good, Alan. Anytime.
MasterChef continued on last night. The end of Nigella week, as Gordon Ramsay does continue on for next week. And unfortunately, one man had to go home, and that man is Tim. I have him on the line, mate. What a challenge.
Oh, what a bloody challenge that was. It was really, really, it was fun, but the repercussions, unfortunately, weren't that fun. But it was just a really, really good experience to meet Nigella and actually eat that trifle. It was a good trifle, I must say.
Yeah, talk me through that trifle. It looked wonderful. Like 20,000 layers to it. It's about something like
it
that.
It had about, I think that was right around about the same. I don't even know. I got lost in the amount of layers because I was just eating it. And then I got to a stage like, oh, okay, I'm actually really enjoying this. So then I nearly almost forgot about the whole challenge. But I had to make sure that I had to write down as many ingredients as I could.
Yeah, and that didn't work out for you, unfortunately. You didn't list all the ingredients correctly, so you had to go through to the elimination round. That was a bit of a challenge.
The elimination round, the cook-off?
Yeah, the cook-off. Yeah. That was full on.
Yeah. It was, mate. 75 minutes to make a bomb Alaska was a real task at hand. I basically wanted to cook a bomb Alaska because I really loved eating it. And I just thought that I could have, had it done in time, but unfortunately time did get the better of me.
Yeah. Now, I'm curious, mate, what are you up to now? What's the plans from here?
Yeah, so look, at this stage, I'm really looking forward to kind of opening up my own barbecue place in Sydney. Mm-hmm. It's just going to be a place where, you know, people come, they have really good food, and they leave full, because for me, that's what this whole competition was about, was just, you know, basically feeding people and making them happy.
And filling them up. I like that. So many times you go to a restaurant these days and it's like a tiny little serving. I like that you're anti-small serving.
Yeah, that's the thing. I've left so many restaurants hungry of late, and I was just like, you go to these places to eat and just feel nourished. So that's what I'm always going to plan to do.
Now, you were an assistant, butcher shop assistant. I got to say, I did it for about 2 weeks as an apprenticeship, and it was the hardest work I've ever done in my entire life. So hats off to you, mate.
Yeah, mate, it's not easy. Long hours, long days, but you know what? At the end of the day, I just really enjoyed it. That's why I kept coming back.
No, that's great. I didn't, so I did not.
You got straight out of there.
Out of there. Quick, smart.
Play to you.
Before I let you go, a question that I've been asking a lot of the MasterChef contestants is, what were you eating while you were watching yourself get eliminated last night?
Oh, what was I eating last night? Oh, jeez. I think I was.
You have to eat while watching MasterChef. That's the rule.
Yeah, I think I was tucking into a tub of ice cream at that point.
Tub of ice cream? You weren't trying to do the bomb Alaska again? You weren't trying that?
Oh, I'm staying away from those for a while, I think, mate. Not going to lie. It's going to be a while till I actually eat one of those. So.
Nah, mate, it's complete sense. Well, thanks for the chat today, mate, and good luck with your next adventure.
Awesome, mate. Thanks very much for your time.
Yes, Marion Print now joins me, and plenty happening in the news over the southwest. Jeez.
It has been a really busy week this week.
Let's first talk about live exports. This has been one of the big hot topics.
Yeah, it seems to be an ongoing topic over the last couple of weeks, maybe even months.
Mm.
And so the Liberal MP, federal MP, has put across a bill to phase out live exports over the next 5 years.
Okay.
And our state government's saying, that's too far, mm-hmm. But we would like to see more being done by the federal government in terms of, because like the live export trade is still going to go ahead over the Middle East in summer months, and I guess they would just like to see more done to protect our stock.
Yeah, it's a very big topic. Cliff Ree put a post up on our Facebook page. It's still getting traction where people are having their opinion either way, what they want to see. You know, you've got to think of our farmers, but at the same time, you know, you care about our animals as well.
Yeah.
It's a really, really hard situation. Yeah, eventually maybe one day live exports could be banned, but we've got to make sure we're looking after our farmers if we're going to do something crazy like that. Yeah. Good news for surfers, but Marion.
So the Ocean Guardian Surf Plus device has been added to the state government subsidy, so there's $200 they cover for that.
Cool.
And, yeah, I guess that's just another safety measure that surfers can use when they're going out. Or even divers, sorry.
Yeah,
divers,
everyone.
Surfers. Yeah, anyone in the water.
If you're a bit scared when you walk on the beach.
Yeah, you would.
Whatever you need, it's all good. And a romance scam as well, just right here in Bunbury. Can you believe it?
Yeah, so a 53-year-old woman allegedly tricked a man into sending her money, which she then, interestingly enough, sent on to a scammer in Nigeria. I can't wrap my head around this. It's odd.
Yeah, they go to court in a couple of weeks, and I think, and I was chatting to Annetta from Consumer Protection, who I know you chat to as well, and we are all just hanging out to find out exactly what has gone down, because she scammed someone to then get scammed herself, is what it looks like on paper.
I feel like she was, like, I'm just speculating.
Allegedly.
But I feel like she was involved in a scam, a romance scam herself.
Okay.
With the person in Nigeria, and then she went on to scam. So it's like, it is money laundering, but
we'll find out in the coming weeks. What's going on this weekend, bud?
The reconciliation walk across Kumbana Bay Bridge on Saturday morning at 10:30. It starts at the Bunbury Powerhouse.
Okay.
Boathouse, I think.
Yep.
And also we've got the Margaret River Garage sale on Saturday.
Very cool.
Also something I'm really excited about, the Nutella truck will be at Bicentennial Square tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. I've got like 40 disguises ready. And I've been practicing different voices as well. So do you want to hear one?
Yeah, hit me.
Hello.
And that is enough. Marion, thank you very much.
Cheers.
If you love Nutella, this is the guy you need to speak to. I've got Al on the line. How are you, mate?
Good, mate. How are you?
I'm doing well. I thought I had a pretty good gig until I found out that you get to drive around the country making people happy by giving them Nutella.
I know, it's a little unfair, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Now, you started over east, and you've actually driven all the way over here. You had a bit of a lull over the last few days. I don't think you've actually spoken to anyone else in quite
a
long time.
We haven't had phone reception for 4 days, so yeah.
Oh, I feel for you, but you're going to be in Bunbury. We're looking forward to it this weekend, mate. Free Nutella for all.
That's it, yeah, free Nutella, free waffles, pancakes, French toast. Yeah, we got lots.
What's the reason for coming here? What's the main goal? Just to get everyone a bit happier?
Yeah, obviously, as soon as we get the Nutella out, everyone gets happier. But we just wanted to show that Nutella is a breakfast item as well. Like, you can put it with lots of different breakfast things, and it's really great in the mornings.
Yeah, I understand you can put it with your yogurt and your bananas and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's a pretty versatile product, actually. Yeah, we put it with lots of different things, and especially healthy things like fruits and yogurts and stuff like that. It works very well, yeah.
Now, you're going to be giving away a few of these products for free tomorrow.
Yes, all of them for free at Bicentennial Square, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be great. What time are you getting there?
I think 8 o'clock we open up, and we'll go through till 11.
That is great. And people just need to rock up and just line up and get themselves in the tower. How popular and busy do these things get?
Pretty popular and busy. You want to come and line up, but it's not too crazy, but there's lots of things to do. There's like lots of things you can engage with, and there's a couple of guys that are going to keep the crowd entertained while they're waiting, so it should be good.
No, that's really good, mate. What's some of the surprising things on the menu that I may not expect to see Nutella combined with?
We've done an acai bowl, like a Buddha bowl this year, which is pretty interesting. Fresh berries, acai, they're super fruit, so that's a pretty interesting one.
Yeah, that is very interesting. And Nutella with that. Yeah, rock and roll.
Yeah, Nutella with that. Yeah, not at all.
That sounds good, mate. Well, I think you're going to be very popular. All happening tomorrow, Bicentennial Square from 8 a.m. Get yourself some free Nutella products. Sounds great, mate. And also, how much Nutella do you normally go through on one of these things?
Oh, kilos and kilos.
Yeah, is it measured in kilos or litres? I wouldn't even know.
I think it's the same thing in the metric, but I think either one is good, yeah.
No, excellent. Well, Al, thanks for the chat, mate.
Thanks a lot, mate.
On the line, singer Jesse Gordon. How are you?
Hi, Ellen. I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm excited. Jazz by the Bay is pretty much almost here. You've got a couple of big events coming up. You're going to be performing, doing a free gig at the Black Brewing Company. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, there's so much going on that weekend. I'm doing a bunch of things, and I'm excited about all of them. They're all my favourite child.
You're also doing a free vocal and stage presence workshop at Old Dunsborough Hall there. What stage presence? How do you teach that?
Stage presence is basically just the ability to stand on a stage and hold people's attention even when you're terrified.
Okay.
And perhaps when you're not terrified, but even when you are.
Because I'm trying to think of, when I saw that, I was like, presence, like, you know, surely you face the right way. And then you just kind of just, but then again, I guess keeping your head up, actually looking at the crowd while you're doing it kind of helps as well.
Yeah, there's lots of things. It's basically trying to find a way to feel comfortable on stage and say something in an honest and authentic way. And that can be really, really challenging when you're nervous.
I can imagine. Honest and authentic, yeah, you could try and teach me a little bit about that as well while you're there.
I'm sure you're doing fine.
I'm trying my hardest, I can assure you that. And also, this one looks really good as well. The Perth Cabaret Collective are playing at Clancy's Fish Pub. That is on the Sunday at 5:30 to 7:30, another free event. That one looks pretty exciting.
Oh my goodness, it's one of the most fun bands to play in. It's a 10-piece 1930s cabaret style kind of gypsy jazz trad swing orchestra. It's got all of the things. It's very silly, it's high energy, and yeah, it's always quite raucous, which is a solid performing band.
I'm just imagining basically like a soundtrack of Chicago to a degree.
Yeah, the soundtrack of Great Gatsby is probably a little bit more kind of the vibe that you're looking for.
Uh-huh.
It's like Chicago but with slightly more alcohol and less morals.
That is exactly what I like.
I mean, that's saying quite a lot based on the storyline of Chicago, now that I think about it.
Murdering a man that she's cheating with or something. Yeah, okay, yeah, that's pretty good call. But you've got a ton of events. Looking forward to you being here in the Southwest for Jazz by the Bay. Jesse, thank you so much for taking some time of your day to chat with me.
Thanks for the call, Alan. Have a good one.
Oh, it's going to be so great. Looking forward to it. Jazz by the Bay, not this weekend, but next weekend for your WA Day long weekend. Ton of different venues right across the Southwest, but make sure you get along to it. Immerse yourself in world-class live jazz by the Bay, June long weekend.